And welcome, 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 dear listeners. Yes, this is Christmas. It is the 25th of December. I'll just wish you guys Merry Christmas. We obviously here at Eagle FM, we've already shared that particular well-wishing early on in this particular morning. But if you've not heard it during the course of the day, you know what? There's always someone that can, you know, brighten your day by sharing that particular message with you. So here it goes. Merry Christmas. And obviously, all the best from tomorrow onwards, specifically looking forward to the new year or to the end of this particular year of 2025 with 2026 in next week creeping up on us specifically. But just so that you know, the well wishing is a scenario for, you know, for everyone out there specifically who have also been, loyal listeners here to your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And as you do know here during the period of holiday programming that we've set up for you, dear listeners, you're in my company from 5:30 all the way to 7. This being the holiday reads, where we get into the interesting particular discussions and talking points for you, specifically for those of you that wish to pick up something new to read, something to look at. If you didn't have the time to, you know, expand your reading list, your library, your own particular collection of reading material, there's always suggestions that I'll be sharing with you here on Holiday Reads, specifically for this holiday programming period that we've set up here on Eagle FM. So, one of the particularly interesting things, since we've looked at the Younger Minds reading, not just yesterday, but the day before, as well as also taking a look at graphic novels in that scenario in yesterday's particular session. And obviously, I bring you into an interesting particular talking point. I'll call it a talking point specifically because it's not always something that is suggested to readers out there. This being compilations of short stories. Reason being is that these particular stories are not always at the top, or these particular books are not always at the forefront of suggestions as reading material, whether it be just, you know, out of curiosity, out of being a collector of reading material and books, or out of being someone that follows a particular writing style or kind of storytelling scenario. The scenario is always that you don't find anyone suggesting always short story compilations to anyone. Now, short story compilations, dear listeners, can exist out of a whole bunch of writers being, you know, collected or presented in one particular production or one particular published work, or it'll be one writer who wrote all these various particular stories over, let's say, over their career, or there was a targeted reason. In many cases, the targeted reasons, for example, interesting things that I found out, just to give you guys some back, you know, some side stories or some backstories in terms of some writers out there who, obviously, most of the famous writers started off as pretty, you know, not very famous people. They were people that had regular lives, regular day jobs and scenarios. If I take the guy that wrote the Witcher book series, let me rather say this. For those of us who have played the Witcher game series, for those of us who've seen the TV series itself, and know, it gives an element that he also wrote some short story, some short stories, that being the author Andrzej Sapkowski. But before CD Projekt Red made the Witcher series so prominent in terms of the game productions, and obviously then the TV series that was produced, and the spin-off TV series that also sprang out from the particular work of Andrzej Sapkowski, is that Andrzej Sapkowski's work came to prominence after he won a government-funded competition. I think it was in the 90s. Yeah, it was in the 90s for storytelling. So, what Sapkowski did is he wrote a whole bunch of short stories depicting the world in which Geralt of Rivia, or Geralt the Witcher, operates within. And he submitted them all to the same competition. Then there was also some other particular works after he won this particular competition. He then also became a fully fledged, you know, author. And then Sapkowski then also produced the, you know, the works in their own right. But he wrote them all in Polish. And CD Projekt Red is, its origins are from Poland. And what CD Projekt Red did, you know, the two friends that started the company, they needed material and they needed something to start their own game production company. And they bought the rights from Sapkowski to produce the Witcher game series. The Witcher game series is currently going to go into its fourth title production. The production lead has said, after Witcher 3 came out in 2015, that there is still so much storytelling they'd like to do to, from the Witcher book series that they wish to bring into the particular, you know, into the particular game environment. The Witcher game series has always set the benchmark, has always introduced a different kind of storytelling and has actually excelled at the storytelling and the immersive value proposition that they've placed forward for many gamers out there. And obviously the next particular step has, you know, has many particular people, specifically myself, in anticipation for what the fourth title in that series of the world of The Witcher will bring out. Obviously, in between, CD Projekt Red took a break and they decided to launch, you know, to publish and launch Cyberpunk 2077 that I told you guys about yesterday. That was the work of another particular sci-fi writer, and he's actually a polymath because he's a writer, he's a game designer, and all those other particular things. And, I mean, Cyberpunk 2077, it didn't launch at its best, but it has technically made back its return on investment already for CD Projekt Red and all affiliated parties. So when you're looking at the particular, how I link the two worlds of writing and writing stories and literature to the worlds of movie making and the worlds of game production, it is interesting, it's fascinating, and I will always advise you, read the books before you watch the movie, or if you're going to play the game, try to read the books afterwards. But playing a game is like living the book.
Rande so levuri omponga sana. Kora keneni matungi mwa Namibia mwono mkunda doko mambo. Elie divi so lomuri oktundira kwa ministeri unandima, marunonege mefuta, memane wapo kororevu. Kora keneni na wano kulitamba ya kambudiezi kumono ane koroveni, kama parambo na waka umi. Hagekeni siruga na sokura ndesa no kura nda evuri omponga sana. Morwa singe, morwa evuri omponga sana mwa Namibia evuri pangero, kani kwa tokulira ndesa mwankedi nkeni. Kulihame sila masuruga sokura ndesa ndi kuranda evu kapi ya polisira. Weta ze wapo kuro evu diyo mkunda heziva na kutumburasi 8 number 5 of 2002 kwa silika hivi ya ukayangosna. Matenge kogo iruga na vapira polisira ya rande su evu. Matenge kogo paveta. Vadonga nesi veta angava futisa taninga waza modorongo. Hedonga neso liyo mpora mkunda. Rande sondi ya rando evu kuvura kulati sapo mapiro kulizuva ndi marwa nambo mwono mkunda ditu. Yinke yono hepa kudiva. Evu liyo mponga sana ula natuwenye. Halioru none lukuli gavera ornatu guwane namo natuwenye mawa. Tupungure ni upingwa wetu. Kwa kufuma deka evu liyo mponga sana ose kufuma deka mulio kono mpo detu kani kupopera nkara pamazitu. Rapota hivi ya ukayapira kupulisira. Msena sowe kuna Gaza rasi, kuna karapo, hiruga na irande soevu, hirapota kundango zorudi, ndango zevulo mponga sano, ndiko mbere wazo ministeri, hozakara pepi nevango loge. Turuga nenini kumwe, tukungeru none revulo etulo mponga sano, tulikungire mhoko kukome. Uministeri kapna ukakara na unzoni, sena natukazumba nisa marunone gevu, mora hiruga na dona irande soevulo mponga sano. Diorokasi, evulo mponga sano mulio unini, tulipo pere nino kulipungwira na vini. Mpandu keruga neno kumu. Edivi sweli, lioko radio, kunali tulisa pone kwato sokole pasmalu wa tunde la kepangero leo sorongo sana Namibia, tani epangero la Germany, Peter Amo, German Development Bank. Mugwana kwa mapuku rogo manzi, guwanekera no mbele wazo ministeri za karira pepi, milango lioge, ndiko mbele wazo inka yonkara pamwe, mu ministeri unandima, marno nege mefuta, mema ne wapo koroevu, kono moraezi. Euta ntazimwe zimwe, mbali euta ntantatu, tambali ntazimwe, euta ne.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Sorry about that, guys. Coming back, dear listeners, from the extended break right there and joining me once, as you're joining me back here on the Holiday Reads segment on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. Just where we left off, I explained to you guys the particular interesting development, obviously, of looking at, you know, sometimes how short story writing can lead to, you know, your own particular fame. Okay, not you, because primarily, the discussion obviously is where you get printed, published, and distributed. But, for example, taking a look at some of the fanfare that has popped up from the guys like, Andrzej Sapkowski of the Witcher book series and of the Witcher TV series, because the Witcher game series is born from the books, but it has not entirely brought to life what is in the books, because it only follows one guy, Geralt of Rivia, and his affiliates. And according to Sapkowski, there's apparently a lot more characters and a lot more storyline encased within the books, the works that he has published so far. So, another particular storyline that's also interesting to share, dear listeners, in terms of writers who became famous for short stories and then they ventured into fully fledged, you know, novels and fully fledged works, meaning each particular novel, each particular book they wrote was a complete work. Is someone like Haruki Murakami, for that matter, and James Joyce. These are actually two classics. Haruki Murakami is a Japanese author from the 70s or 80s, I think. And James Joyce lived a little bit earlier. He's an Irish classical writer. I read one of his first works, which is technically a compilation of short stories known as The Dubliners. And I wrote one of Haruki Murakami's compilation of short stories known as Blind Willow Sleeping Woman. Don't ask me about the titles, guys. Specifically, if you're dealing with fictional writers, they sometimes make up their own things. You've just got to read the work, try to get insight in terms of what stories they're telling, and then, you know, judge it based upon how you go on by that. Now, the important thing about both of these writers, just so that I let you know. Okay, so for both of them, they started off with short stories. Because when I read The Dubliners, first half of this year, with The Dubliners, it gave me insight, and this is what James Joyce writes. He gives you insight into, you know, the life, the dimensions from various walks of life. I mean, I read one particular review of someone who tried to find out, you know, why did James Joyce write The Dubliners? The Dubliners sets you specifically in a period of just before 1900, just after 1900. So it's, you don't precisely know if you're still in 1880 something or 1890 something, or if you're just past 1900. You get told of certain particular periods. You get insights into terms of the ways of life of everyday people in the city of Dublin, which is the capital of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland. Belfast is the capital of Northern Ireland. They view each other. They're just across the same river. Belfast is in Northern Ireland, Dublin in the Republic of Ireland. And the interesting thing from this is obviously that you get to understand life in terms of, you know, whether it's a person from Catholic descent or a person from Protestant descent, and the particular political machinations, the everyday life scenarios, the interesting work and developments that people get into. Specifically, there's this one chapter that I remember very, very well. It's of a gentleman who is I don't want to call him like a lawyer's clerk or a legal clerk. Okay, let me use the term legal clerk, because he sometimes has to deal with setting up with contracts and stuff like that. And during the whole section of his story, this is now in the book, he firstly gets reprimanded by or scolded by his one boss for not having completed a task, because a client had come that specific day, as he was told that the client would come that day. He did not prepare for the task, and his boss did not like being embarrassed on it. So he obviously gets reprimanded, he gets scolded, and him being him, this character specifically, he decides, you know what, he's told, you put in the extra hours, work overtime, finish the task so as, you know, so as sort of like to make right what he had caused, the situation, the humiliation he caused his boss. And then he does the overtime work and then decides, you know what, I'm not done, and decides to go home for the day. He clocks off at something like 6:30 or something at night, and he goes to his favorite pub or his favorite bar, and he finds his buddies there, all of whom have different jobs, different vocations at the time, and they enjoy a glass of whiskey, because obviously Ireland is a whiskey and beer brewing country. Now, you get to see such scenarios because obviously the storyline just ends there after the visit or the stop at the bar. That's it. Then there is another interesting story, particularly of an oldish man. I call him old-ish because it seems like he's probably in his 60s or in his 50s. And he is, you know, he's sort of like stuck in bed with some sort of an illness. It could be a flu. But, you know, vague responses are given because his wife, who's like in her 40s-ish or in her 50s-ish, she calls on three way younger men who are in their 30s to visit the man. And obviously in this particular story, these three men who come as visitors, they aim to sort of like, you know, be like friends, put friends in inverted commas, because the woman's husband has been known to be a naval captain, meaning many of his work has been that he works away from home a lot, and he's technically on a lot of trips because he works on a ship. He manages a ship, a particular trade boat, and that's all he's been known for his whole life. Now, the downside was his wife has never seen him with friends. He knows the three faces. She knows them as well. But they're not his friends because he's so much older than him. And specifically because he's told his wife many times, he doesn't see need to be, you know, to have friends because he wants to do his work. Now, this particular story also gives the insight of a specific trade that happened at a specific time. Obviously, because one of the gentlemen, said, you know, told the old man, listen, why don't you join us for a specific retreat just for guys? And we go to a specific place, and then afterwards we do another particular activity as just the four of us, and just to get your mind off, you know, working and being stressed and all that. Obviously, it shows a contemporary particular picture of how at that stage, you know, the kinds of activities married men would get up to. Obviously not the not so good kind of activity, but the more positive ones, the ones that seem to be on the level of like the men's conference that many people make fun of here in February and towards the middle of the year. But before we actually continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short break and we'll come back right after this. The 2026 applications are now open for the Ongwediva Achievers Private Center. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive practical and teacher-led sessions are available. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. The subjects that are on offer: English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply: complete application and pay application fee, which is $150. Email the application to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, you can send your application via WhatsApp to +264 81 651 5138. For more information, call Mr. Natangwe at cell number +264 81 651 5138. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. So just where I left off, and specifically with that explainer there about, you know, how James Joyce, you know, put forward the book, which is a compilation of short stories that gives you an illustration of the way of life in Dublin before World War One. I have to stress this, that this is before World War One. Another guy that I mentioned just in terms of the same two names, was the Japanese author Haruki Murakami. Now, Murakami has a peculiar way of presenting his stories. Now, I say peculiar because he's only the second Japanese author I've ever read in my life. The first author was highly philosophic, highly religious, and it's not religious in terms of Christianity. The other author that, whose name I slightly forgot, is that this other author used, what do they have? Zen Buddhism. He infused Zen Buddhism. No, not Zen. Yeah, it was Zen. Was it Shinto? But he infuses the local Japanese religion into the storytelling. For Murakami, Murakami is of a contemporary, you know, he's from a contemporary ilk, meaning he's from the modern day setting that you can look at. Why do I highlight this primarily is that when I read the book, Blind Willow Sleeping Woman, specifically as the first story, I thought it was, when I read the book, sometimes I just blindly read a book. I don't read the blurb, meaning the back cover, to try and understand what the book is about. I just look at the book, I see the cover, and I go like, who's the author? The presentation looks okay. And then at that stage, I just took the book. I just bought the book. Because I had read another Murakami book. A completely different one. But I had read it. So when I read this particular compilation of short stories, because then only then did it strike me after buying the book, what did I buy? And then I read the backside of the book. And yes, guys, I sometimes do make these consumer blunders. And I ask myself, what did I buy? Because the first story in that book was perplexing. The book was so confused. That first story was so confusing to me because I was like, is this a ghost story? Is it a supernatural story? Is it a horror? Why is there suspense in the story? So well structured, so well presented, that I feel like it was some sort of a supernatural event that took place specifically in this first short story. And then I read, okay, this is a compilation of Murakami's first short stories. I was like, okay, so Murakami started off in short stories before he went into long form. Okay, now I know what I actually bought at the time. getting into the rest of the particular book, they all have the same particular theme. Specifically the one about the first story that I told you about, the one that threw me out of the boat from the first story. You see, the difference in presentation even of short story formats is how the different authors, if it's just their compilation works, or it's a compilation of just their work, specifically how there is but one theme in the compilation itself. If it's something like what Murakami did, where it's, you know, various locations across Japan with various stories to tell from different dimensions in human of Japanese history and way of life. For example, the one takes you to the southern island of Japan. What is that southern island's name? It's not Honshu. But it takes you to the southern island of Japan, specifically where city's name? Where Hiroshima and Nagasaki are based. And one of the specific events is that over there you get to meet a young Japanese doctor meets a disabled American tourist with his sister, who takes him every year to this particular spot where this current Japanese visitor is. They interact for but a brief moment, and then the interaction they never see each other after that, because the next day suddenly the disabled guy and his sister had just left the specific hotel facility. The other story, that I read that confused me from the get-go. Yes, storytelling can confuse you sometimes, and it is done on purpose, specifically like this. If you don't know from Asian writers, I say Asian writers because they infuse a lot of mysticism, things that give you an insight, an explainer of their way of life, specifically of cultural norms and certain particular developments. You could face yourself walking into a invisible bus or wall at one or other time, because you'll be scratching your head a lot more times trying to wonder, what is this book telling me? So, that first story was based upon a waiter, because the story is told out of a first person perspective. It's based out of a waiter's particular perspective who works at a restaurant in a multi-storied building. I think it's like 5 floors. And at the top floor is where the owner of the restaurant lives, who's also the owner of the building. No one has ever seen the owner of the building, and who's also the owner of the restaurant, except for the restaurant manager. Because the restaurant manager is the only person allowed to take food up to the owner. And then one day, a situation happens where the restaurant manager has to attend to a very, very, pertinent issue on behalf of the restaurant. And he sort of like delegates to the first person perspective character that you're now reading the story from to take up the food. It was dinner. To take up the dinner to the owner in his whatever floor, because he owns the whole floor. You know, his whole residence is the top floor. The character gets to the door. The owner doesn't open it up. The character decides, should I just leave it outside? But the order was to take it directly into the room or into the specific space. So the character knocks again. Door gets opened. Meets this very shortish, very old man, who has a very peculiar expression on his face. Looks like they're smiling, but they're not smiling, but they're very friendly in addressing the waiter. And then obviously there's a little bit of a weird interaction that follows on, and the interaction ends with a very weird plot twist at the end of the story, specifically as the waiter was told, listen, tell me your birthday wish, because the waiter said, listen, it's my birthday today. Or the owner heard it's the waiter's birthday that day. And, there's just been a bunch of weird scenarios that just followed on after that interaction. So you sit with such processing afterwards that you even wonder what's going on and why do these particular things happen. Now, supposedly when you look up about Haruki Murakami, in many cases, you know, there's this lovely little section where they highlight the influences of various authors. For example, Murakami was influenced by Franz Kafka, Fyodor Dostoevsky, Stephen King, who's obviously a suspense thriller horror writer. Fyodor Dostoevsky is one of the classical Russian authors during the 1800s period. And if you read, because I know I've got a family member that read most of the Russian classics. It's not just Dostoevsky. There is another guy by the name of, what was his name? The other author. Tolstoy, all these guys that they lived in the same particular time frame, during that particular time in Russia. So all of them obviously, you know, had different perspectives to tell about way of life, in their perspectives. This could be from Kafka. Franz Kafka is usually cited by many political students, those with advanced reading. I say with advanced reading because they go from Kafka, they go from, they also go to some of the Pan-Africanist, political faces that you find in Africa's history. But many of them start from Kafka. Many people would be told read Franz Kafka. And then in many cases, Franz Kafka is also influenced by other people. For example, like the people from the Russian Revolution and the likes. And obviously from, Karl Marx, who always features somewhere. But yeah, in many cases, those are the particular discussions. And it's always interesting to note, dear listeners, readers read widely. They don't just focus on one thing. They read widely. So, as we obviously had a look at these two particular authors. Now, I listed James Joyce and Haruki Murakami's, you know, the first two particular options. But during my particular own reading adventures, as I have always done, I've read a whole bunch of short story compilations. One of them was obviously, some of them, not one of them, some of them have obviously were recommended reads on school level. There's a lovely short story book that I read that one of my siblings had, because it was not something that we had in the public school system. So it's short stories that were obviously compiled that my elder siblings, the three elder siblings, had specifically that was recommended for them. I read the stories because they were wonderful stories to read. Then there was another short story compilation book that I also, which was also recommended reading for teenagers specifically on school. Also read that particular scenario. There was one that it was a blend between teenage and young adult, because I remember my mother also read the same book, also a compilation of short stories. Wonderful compilation itself, that had contemporary setting. It was first published, I think, in the 80s or in the 70s. And the nice thing is these stories revolved around, you know, like modern day contexts and plots and characters and the likes. And it was a whole bunch of, you know, authors as well. However, I read that book specifically knowing that potentially I was outside the prescribed age limit, because it had themes there, unfortunately, of murder, and of other particular scenarios in it. So just to let you know, readers are inquisitive. They are curious. So if you're looking specifically to be someone who wants reading material to tap into over the holiday period, and you want something that is well curated, meaning it is well put together, it is well presented, it can be presented under a specific genre, like adventure, or a genre specifically of, you know, love stories, or, you know, whatever would be your particular fancy in terms of being a reader, or it would be curated works of a famous writer, or a famous author, specifically to bring forth works that were never known to the reading market. Those were things that happened specifically, like with James Joyce, who lived so far back, who produced works so early on, specifically being brought and reprinted and reproduced here in the modern day context, or in a scenario like what happened with the Haruki Murakami, some of his earlier works. These were works. Remember the stories that I told you from, that was in the compilation of Murakami that I read. Interesting fact here. These were works. It says so on the back of the book. These were works that Murakami entered also into for a newspaper competition in Japan. So there was a newspaper competition about, you know, submit your best short stories for a specific part of the newspaper. And that's what Murakami did. I used to, you know, there was a time specifically in the 90s where, I think it was my mother and some of my family members used to buy the South African newspapers, and they always had the most interesting things included in them. For example, every edition came out with a comic strip following in a specific storyline. Like I told you guys yesterday, how the American comic book producers and publishers work. What they do is they produce, in every edition that they bring out, is a chapter about a specific subject matter, which is known as an arc, that the heroes or the characters participate in. So every edition is a chapter, and every edition forms part of the overall big story. Same thing that the South African newspapers also did. Same thing that Murakami participated in Japan in his early writing days by submitting stories, obviously, to his local newspaper. And that's obviously how he got discovered for his writing talents. Now, classical writers can also be found in compilations that open up the world of storytelling to many readers and curious minds around the world. Names like Murakami, James Joyce, Agatha Christie, who is very famous specifically for many of her TV productions. Okay, let me put it this way. Agatha Christie, currently today, guys, is, firstly, she's famous for being a detective writer. You know, she's always got detective characters that play the role of solving certain crimes in certain particular spots, when she was still alive, Agatha. So this is the 1950s, 1960s England, and they always go on various adventures. The situation also now with Agatha Christie is that the BBC produces a lot of Agatha Christie works for their TV channels. Would you look at that? Now, obviously, this is a notion of intellectual property always, and how intellectual property carries further on, the value that it creates. The similar thing that I explained to you at the start and introduction of today's particular show, specifically like with the Andrei Sapkowski books, who, you know, went on to produce money-spurning video game titles, as well as also now TV series and spin-off TV series. The supposed discussion obviously is there that not many people, well, me personally, there's a lot of fans that are not happy with the TV series production. They obviously still hope that the video game production doesn't, you know, incur the same particular sort of bad planning that had been described and reviewed and discovered and observed in the TV series production. And the storyline, you know, is something that stays true to the actual source material. If you don't know what source material is, many writers and their works are known as source material. For the Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings are source material. They have to stay close to it. But since I was deviating there a little bit, a lot of the particular works, obviously, from these classical writers are the types that you will find in various editions as they aim to whisk you into their worlds. They present to you various works that do, you know, that present various dimensions, and can serve various particular tastes in reading. Now, as a young reader, if you're a young reader, these particular compilations are the best to introduce literature to you. And for example, if you are a reader who's only now exploring the world around them, for an adult, it takes a lot of convincing to bring them back to this genre or category of literature. Reason being, if you are someone that you started on short stories, and short story books, and you've now realized, you know what, let me challenge myself, let me get into the bigger things. It takes a lot to bring you back to short stories. Unless you do that by accident, like what I did, accidentally bought a book and realized, oh my goodness, this is a short story book. The same too also with the Dubliners. I repeated the same mistake twice. I bought the Dubliners and I was like, I bought it last year. I remember, yeah, I bought it last year, 2024. And I was like, this looks like a nice book. This is a James Joyce book. This is not the book that I was told about that's, you know, a masterpiece by Joyce, because it technically also means now I have to try and find out what Ulysses is about. That's the book that is hailed as one of the sort of like literature masterpieces by James Joyce. There's a whole bunch of these books around the world, these literature masterpieces. And I was like, okay, let me first read The Dubliners, you know, to try and understand what's going on here. Read The Dubliners and I was like, okay, it's okay. You know, it's not exhilarating stuff. It's also a weird way in terms of how he presents the work and describes the world of Dublin at that particular time frame when he was alive. Yeah, it's okay, you know. The interesting thing obviously is you've got to understand as a reader of long formats that every author presents to you their work in a different way. You will not find any two authors out there, dear listeners, that will have exactly the same writing style, exactly the same way of doing the same thing, and exactly the same way of telling the story. Every author out there is different. And in many cases, for me personally, I start becoming a collector of an author the moment I like their storylines. I will not get there yet. I'll keep some of those other particular interesting nuggets for our discussion here of the holiday reads. I'll keep them in the other editions because I will actually be doing an injustice by introducing them here while we're still talking about the short story formats here on the holiday reads. Now, what is also interesting to note, and if you are an avid reader, short stories and short story compilations will be an absolute treasure for you. And this particular format, whenever they are, you know, sold, when you come across them and when you are introduced to them. Just something to highlight as well. As I mentioned at the start of today's show, if you go shopping for a book, you will never think about buying a short story compilation book. In actual fact, you will stumble upon a short story compilation book that will attract you, but you will never go with the idea of saying, I want to buy short story compilation books. You will never think that way. In many cases, it is even marketed, positioned on the shelf as part of the other, you know, titles that are not short story titles or short story compilation titles, and the book that you accidentally take that day, you realize, oh my goodness, this is a compilation of short stories of this author that was put together by this publishing house, and voila, I bought it. You know, this is the, and it's either I liked the stories and the themes contained within them, or I didn't. Now, some particular resources just to share with you, dear listeners. The most famous of the short story compilation that exists that is actually more than 100 years old, Just so that you know, it is actually more than 100 years old now that I think about it. Is, for example, if you have access or you bought a compilation of the Brothers Grimm and the stories in that particular compilation. So, as an interesting backstory, now I've got an Afrikaans version of that compilation because I grew up on this Afrikaans version. Actually, it helped me a lot in terms of with my imagination, you know, being a young kid and obviously reading that particular material back then in the 80s. You know, parents could order certain things specifically from South Africa, and it was, what was its name? Was it Reader's Circle? But its Afrikaans name was Leserskring. And, you know, you could get certain reading material for your children and stuff like that to enjoy and specifically engage in. And one of them was this massive book. I bought my own, you know, pre-COVID. I bought my own because the version that I grew up with, obviously, to be honest, I think it was the brother before me. He somehow, you know, swiped it and, feigned ignorance in terms of saying that he did not know where it was, but then I saw it in his bookshelf at his home. But you know what? If you get your own particular copy of the work, then, you know, things are okay. So, this particular, if you have it in English, it's a treasure. I've obviously got mine in Afrikaans, which is a particular personal treasure to mine, which also has some sort of nostalgia to me because, you know, in terms of reading, I read a lot between English and Afrikaans. I still try to get back into much Afrikaans reading, specifically books and storytelling. But the interesting thing is if you get yourself as a reader, a compilation book of the Brothers Grimm, you're sitting specifically with a valuable resource in terms of storytelling. Short format, yes. It's more than 100, I think it's more than 100 stories. Because my book says it's more than 100 stories that these two brothers collected. But it's absolutely wonderful. It's a gold mine of storytelling. And if you're going to have, you know, just something to read at, it's the first and foremost most important thing that you can always think about. I let you in on how these two brothers, the Brothers Grimm, came about to produce this compilation. It was an exercise that they did in the 1700s or in the early 1800s about collecting folklore stories. So what are folklore stories? It's those stories that we tell kids, you know, if you're there in the village, on the farm, in the small towns, you know, you tell the little kids in your family certain particular stories that are passed down from generation to generation. And these two brothers wanted to go and capture as many of these stories out there that existed in so many German-speaking communities in Europe at the time, so as to sort of like present the storytelling of the German language at the time. The actual work itself is obviously now something that is come along after that, but they did it at a great expense because in many cases, firstly, they required sponsorship. Just like in modern day context, you know, you always try to look for someone to fund your particular expedition, and that the particular exercise that they were endeavoring on, they were trying to do this for, because they also were affiliated to the university. They were trying to do this for the university. The university firstly was saying yay, and then later on they went like, you know what, guys, you know, this doesn't seem to be the best situation or the best project to still continue to support, because the project wasn't like one massive. It was a project. It looked like a massive project, but it was broken up into smaller parts because they targeted various regions during certain periods during the time that they were doing this exercise. So that was just a little bit of a fun fact there to share specifically in terms of how these brothers Grimm actually came about. I have to say their name that way because if I say the Grimm brothers, you would be like, why would these guys Grimm for the first part, you know? Because the word Grimm means a negative emotion. It depicts a negative situation or a state of being, the word Grimm. Now, before the next ad break hits us, you know, about a minute from now, some of the interesting things just to look at when you are considering venturing into reading short stories and buying short story books is that specifically, it's a question of you, the consumer, you, the reader. What do you like? Because when you are considering buying yourself a compilation of short story books, you've got to consider why you're buying this. What's the particular aim specifically? When I say that, it's not something like when you buy a car or when you buy clothing, because it's a particular book in terms of, does this fall within your taste range? And you will become even, what's that other word? You will become even more, selective. You'll become even more selective as a reader the older you become. Because in many cases, we think we don't have much, we probably think we have enough time to read, but reading is a particular activity where you could sit down and you shut the world out from this, from disturbing you while you're doing this. Obviously, it's a scenario of how much time do you have. In many cases, the internet and many internet sources and resources will tell you 30 minutes a day obviously helps to keep your brain active, keep your brain healthy in terms of brain activity. And it helps you also to retain whatever you are reading. But before we continue, guys, we'll quickly take a short ad break.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossan Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Lipura nenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi minawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushe ndife nawa nukumona oija mwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile ko mderewa nora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
And so coming back, dear listeners, from the extended break right there, and just where I left off specifically, when you've got to look at buying yourself a compilation of short stories book, please don't make the mistake that Dwight made, you know, by not reading the backside of the book to understand whether or not I'm actually buying a short story compilation or am I actually buying a novel, you know, a full-fledged novel. Because even one of the particular literature sources that I've got here with me, known as Twinkle Books, in their blog, they describe here that as we grow older, many of us may find ourselves casting off short stories in favor of longer, chunkier novels. There are so many books that come highly recommended to work through and so many books that constitute required reading, specifically in high school as well. And when we've got to look for benefits, there are many benefits of reading short story compilations that can be found. For example, that they allow us to sample a wide range of different authors and genres. And that's one of the nicest things specifically about short story compilation books, is that you have access to a wide range of different authors with different writing styles, with different storytelling styles, with different plots. Sometimes the plots are similar, but the delivery is what surprises you and can be easily enough fit into a busy schedule. Because you'll know if you finish one short story, you know you're done with that short story. But then the next short story is just a completely different thing, even if it's the same book. And this can also be a good entry point for reluctant readers who find longer novels a little bit too intimidating, specifically for their own digestion needs. You've also got to look at the specific benefits, obviously, when you buy certain titles. I mean, if you're someone that has never explored the horror genres for that matter. I did not read... Okay, there are two compilation books that I saw my sister buy. One was... And they actually come part of a set, because the one is about horror stories. So it's ghost stories and horror stories. And the other one is thriller stories. Now, the thriller story is about human-to-human things, you know? But guess which one I went and read first? I never touched the other one. Specifically, I went and read the ghost and horror stories. There is one particular story in that ghost and horror story compilation. A story so good, dear listeners. This story actually made me think whether or not I was reading the story version of a movie I watched in the 90s, which I was not supposed to watch. But obviously, as a kid, you know, you do your creative things to go and also watch the same video with your siblings. The video at the time, or the movie at the time, that I'm talking about was known as Jacob's Ladder. So Jacob's Ladder had a weird time-traveling element in it. But you did not know which period of time in the movie was the actual time frame that this guy was living in. Was he living in 90s New York City, or was he still stuck in the Vietnam War, which ended in the 70s? And as you can obviously see, there's a great gap of at least 20 years, you know, 15 plus years in between. Now, I remember Jacob's Ladder. I never went back to watch Jacob's Ladder as an adult because it was a movie that freaked me out. It greatly freaked me out. When you think about Jacob's Ladder and the story that I read in the Ghost and Horror compilation, short story compilation book, was that this one story, which takes place in a modern day context, which actually freaks the main character, because the story is also written from a first person perspective, it freaks the main character out to such an extent. The reason being is that the main character saw his own face, or what was a cadaver of himself, meaning a body of himself, in what was being brought down the stairs. And he sat there and he says, but I know I'm alive. I know I am awake, and I know I'm conscious of what I'm observing, because he was the only person in the cabin left. They came there as a 4 or 5 person holiday group to a cabin on an island, on one of the short islands in the Great Lakes area between the United States and Canada. And they were more on the Canadian side of the lakes, and they were Americans. They were a mixture of American and Canadian visitors to the cabin. And everyone else said, you know what, we're done here for the 3 days. We'll be heading back to our next stop. And he told them, listen, I still like to stay here because I like the vibe. I like the area. I like just, you know, the whole natural setting of this island, the cabin, and where I am. Can I stay here an extra 5 days? 3 days went by, and then he experienced sort of like the most, I call it the interesting thing, because I'm a reader and I can see how interesting this particular story is and was, and the impact it did, and the impact the particular sequence of events had on the character. And to me, it was just a masterpiece of a storytelling for a short story. It's just a masterpiece of a short story. Except for the other short story that I'd like to share as well. This was a short story I was also not supposed to read because I was underage. Hey man, you know, you read certain themes and you go like, ah, this is interesting stuff. It was a short story about a event that happened. So I tried looking for that book earlier today and I could not see it where it was last stationed and positioned for the past 20 years. But I remember the story because it's the first story in this compilation of short stories book. This first story it's a contemporary setting. The accusation of a housewife for the murder of her husband. So the story starts off obviously with the engagement between the husband and wife. He had come home recently. An argument breaks out once again. He then assaults the wife, meaning he beats his wife. And then he ends up with a major knock behind the head. However, the wife had called the police. That's the turn in the event because the story starts off on one side, but it technically starts off, it's just like a sliver of the storyline between the interaction of the husband and the wife. And then it starts off with the two police officers who are on the scene of crime, who are on the crime scene. They're trying to understand what went down. How was the husband killed? So the situation is this is a scenario of they're now obviously interviewing the wife, the interaction between the wife and the two officers that are asking her questions. And, you know, they just cannot seem to position the wife as suspect number one. She's giving details. She's explaining time, you know, sequence of time, a sequence of events in specific time and its order and the orders that things happened and their engagement between each other in terms of how they spoke to each other. How long have they been married? How long have they been living in that specific part in the UK? And then an alarm goes off in the house. And the alarm is the alarm for, you guys know that on earlier editions of, some stoves, specifically, those stoves that had ovens that had an alarm, you know, that tells you that the timer has run out for how long whatever you've put in the oven has now been cooked or has now been baked. And then the alarm goes off and the wife turns around. Asks the two officers if she can quickly just go and get, the roasted lamb leg out of the oven. And they say, yeah, sure. And the wife goes and gets it out. Cause I'm going to tell you guys the punchline. Wife goes and gets it out. She takes out the roasted lamb leg. And she asks the officers, you know, would you guys like a cut off roast lamb leg? And there's some mustard for you to eat with. And the guys go like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, we're going to be here the whole day. Why not eat something? And she serves. Guys, this is the best punchline ever. She serves the weapon to all the police officers. She serves them the weapon. Meaning that even if the coroner at that time... because the storyline was set, I think, in the 70s or the 80s. Even if the coroner finds, okay, so the husband suffered a fatal death from one blow to the head, from a blow to the back of his head, you've got to look for the murder weapon. The police officers already ate the murder weapon, which was the most genius thing I've ever read in storytelling, even in movies. I've never seen such a genius plot being positioned ever. From that story, I was like, this is my story. But then obviously, as I went into the rest of the short stories in that specific book, I was like, what, you know, this is just absolute nightmare. But you know what? You read things. That's how we learn. The important thing is obviously, some of the particular talking points that I highlighted in yesterday's discussion and in the day before's discussion about for young readers, short stories are an absolute good manner in terms of introducing long format reading to young minds and young readers. Now, our next particular segment on today's show, we actually get to look at certain particular works and some certain particular short story productions and compilations out there, just so that to guide you specifically on what you can look out for if you are someone who wants to go find something in the bookshop, in the bookstores or bookshops, wherever you find yourself. This could even be internationally, or if you're going to, you know, just want something to read casually while you're traveling and so forth and so forth. There's obviously a whole bunch of production houses or publishing houses, should I rather say, publishing houses, each one bringing out their own particular collection, you know, or collections of short story compilation books. Some titles that you can look at, for example, there is a a book by the name of Table for Two. Now, this is written by a written by Amor Tolles. Now, this is specifically a short story, a fiction-based short story compilation of six stories that are based in the city of New York. And specifically it aims to supply the reader with, wit, with humor, with sophistication and various other particular themes, obviously for a contemporary reader looking at, you know, how human to human interactions occur in one of the world's biggest cities around the world. Another one is taking a look specifically at a compilation of short stories, of the author Edwidge Denticat. And this particular compilation's name is Everything Inside. It sets the stories, or the stories are set in various locations from Miami to Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is obviously the capital of Haiti, to very small unnamed countries in the Caribbean and beyond. And these are eight stories specifically that, you know, are based on the themes of wisdom, humanity, that aims to entrench the reader specifically in various geographic locations around the world. Well, okay, if I say around the world, you know, if it's just in one vicinity of the world, but still, you get the particular gist, and it helps to also share various particular, you know, settings, sort of like to expand the immersion of the reader on so many particular levels. It obviously, this particular collection of books also, or stories, sorry, aims also to explore the quiet power and elegance of the forces that pull humans together or also drive humans apart. And sometimes in an instant, it sometimes happens in an instant, and it sometimes are those particular kinds of themes. So it's based upon, you know, looking at things in, on that human level, human to human connection level. Another one is obviously the fan favorite Agatha Christie, who has always written for, you know, for various authors, but she's usually on the crime, in the crime genre of things. And this is obviously one of her collections from, the, you know, from her work, previous works, known as Partners in Crime, which obviously sees two partners, a woman and a man, known as Tommy and Tuppence, as they obviously navigate the various mysteries that they've got to solve as a pair of newlyweds in very interlinked or linked short stories in this particular collection. So, and Agatha Christie is known greatly for writing a whole bunch of short stories for crime, and even novels for crime. So just there, if you're someone looking out for that kind of read or that kind of reading material, you know, Agatha Christie is a known classic for short stories and for tapping into short stories in that scenario. Then, if you're trying to look for stories from the other side, and I'm not talking about the other side in terms of, you know, like heaven or hell, that kind of religious setting. No, I'm talking about the other side, specifically like science fiction based stories. There's a collection of stories from an author known as Otessa Moshfegh, with the title of Homesick for Another World. Now, these particular stories that is captured in this particular collection or compilation of short stories, looks at obviously a variety of stories across various individuals that represent various human conditions, and obviously tries to tap into the connection that many of these individuals or these characters have towards improving their self-being, improving themselves, improving their way of life, trying to just have better human connections with, let's say, with the next human or the next person that they know. And this is obviously, you know, based upon how you view this scenario in terms of getting into the human psychology of things, not the actual subject matter of psychology, but just looking into that human-to-human connection of things, which asks the questions in terms of what motivates people to work this way, to think that way, to act this way, to react this way, and to act that way. 100%, those kinds of stories always, aim to test or push that boundary in that scenario. Then there's obviously also, there's another Haruki Murakami here, the first person singular. I already explained and spoke about Murakami in great length, but then there's obviously also a scenario in terms of looking at various other authors that could exist in terms of what particular palette would want. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're quickly going to take a short break. I'm going to come back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Mune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudini tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Now coming back to listeners from the extended break right there, and just highlighting that when you've got to look at short stories even as birthday gifts or as Christmas gifts, because today is Christmas obviously, this is potentially one of the best stories, one of the best presents you can ever give. For the Christmas, you know, in terms of it, when you look at a reader, the best thing sometimes is that you've you sometimes have to ask the reader, you know, what kind of books they read if you're going to give them a Christmas gift as a book. If the person says, I read a lot of things, a short story compilation is the best middle point that you can always give as a Christmas gift to a reader. If you know exactly what the person likes, if you know exactly, for example, you're probably married to the person, or you're probably dating the person, or you're probably a very close relative that the person has said, you know, they're trying to get this particular book, but they can't get the book yet, then I'd say, go and get that. If you know what the person wants, go and get that for them. Alternatively, if you don't know, you just want to be friendly, you obviously just want to give something for, you know, within the season of giving, a compilation of short stories is always the best and always sets the best middle point in any regard. Now, some of the other particular, you know, scenarios that I, you know, or books, not just scenarios that I also like to highlight. Many of the particular authors on this particular list that I've got here with me, they are basically single authors with a whole bunch of short stories that they wrote themselves. But some of the good things to look at specifically is if you got to look at the kinds of themes and the kinds of stories that they wish to highlight. For example, there's this one author known as Jhumpa Lahiri who wrote a short story compilation known as the Roman Stories, which actually has the whole book, each of the short stories in that book just takes place in the city of Rome, you know, the Eternal City in Italy. Same thing that James Joyce did with the Dubliners. Everything takes place in the city of Dublin. Now, obviously, these are particular, you know, engagements, interactions, discussions, stories from various perspectives. You've got to think about how the impact obviously happens and the kinds of settings that you wish to do. Please remember, guys, if you are a prospective author, I don't want to think of myself as a prospective author because I started on a manuscript in last year, 2024, and I left it just there, as going against the particular best advice, what many international sources have said, at least try to at least write 1,000 words a day. Now I can easily write 1,000 words for an article for the Villager e-paper platform. But just to sit down and write 1,000 words for a fictional thing, just like that. Guys, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Just to let you know, it's a lot of work. Now, specifically when you've got to look at like the short story compilation that I just mentioned of the Roman Stories written by Jhumpa Lahiri, this is a short story compilation or collection where everything takes place in the city of Rome, the metropolis, and a monument suspended between past and future, with multifaceted and metaphysical experiences where the protagonist and not the setting is the main theme of these stories. Another particular thing also to look at specifically is another title from the likes of, just to get this particular author, F.H. Batakan, who recently brought out the book with the name Accidents Happen and Other Stories. This is obviously, as Accidents Happen, the book itself is a relentless exploration of worlds where the smallest moments are infused with life and vibrating menace. And death is always close at hand. So you've got various themes to look into, various themes to explore, various particular stories that could be told. I mean, some authors can go really dark in their storytelling, and some authors can give you a midway balance of things, and some authors can go, you know, really happy and really fun reads to provide. It's obviously up to you specifically to look at things from what specific palette you've got. Then there's absolute collections, meaning it's a whole bunch of authors. There's one from the publishing house Penguin, known as the Penguin Book of Modern American Short Stories. This is a selection of the best and sometimes the most representative contemporary American short fiction from 1970 to 2020, which obviously includes authors like Ursula Le Guin, Tony Cade Bambara, Jhumpa Lahiri, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, Sandra Cisneros, and Ted Chiang. And these are all particularly curated works, meaning they were selected and then put into this one particular compilation and has a totally different approach to it. It's interesting also to note, dear listeners, that when you look at a compilation like that, that I just shared now with you, they're usually some of the best compilations to buy. If you look at the compilations provided by the authors themselves, you've got to have a good sort of like compass about the author's writing style and storytelling style. But if it's a compilation done from a neutral source or from a neutral standpoint, they are always the best to look into. Another one that also takes part is a discussion on love stories known as Together Apart. It's a collection of various authors that feature the likes of Erin Craig, Erin Hahn, Bill Konigsberg, Rachel Lippincott, and more. And these are original contemporary love stories that are set during life in lockdown, during the lockdown period in 2020 to 2021, by some of the world's most popular young adult authors. So they speak or they write from perspectives of young people. So I'm talking about between 17 to 28 in that regard. And it's a collection, obviously, that looks at romance, realism, the sweet and uplifting, and, you know, trying to maintain the human connection scenarios that obviously that we were all looking for during that particular period in human history. And on that particular note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end for today's program here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. This has been the Holiday Reads for this Thursday Christmas session. Yes, guys, it's Thursday. It's not just Christmas Day. It's Thursday. Tomorrow, there's obviously going to be Family Day, that being the 26th of December. It'll obviously be Friday, just to let you know. And we'll be back with another interesting session as we had in today's session for tomorrow's session. On that note, dear listeners, we'll be back right after this.